your station where you can feel some normalcy. 104.5 The Zone.
Shot of moonshine, man. We call moonshine. Joins us now, Mark Mariani. Let's
go. We're here Friday afternoon. We made it. It's almost a big Memorial Day weekend. Big plans. Open us up. Let's get some beers. Human interaction.
It's human interaction.
It is go time, and I am ready.
There's your Friday shot of energy right there.
No doubt. And you may be calling from, I don't know, somewhere near a beach. Possibly
different zip code. I put out and started groveling on social media, and we made it down to the beach for the weekend, and I'm gonna get soak up some vitamin D. I heard a study that was all facts about how vitamin D fights off the coronavirus, and so I take that very seriously. It's one of the only facts that I take seriously. So I'm here. We just landed. I'm gonna soak it up and get some salt water.
Let me ask you this.
How about this? Yeah. I was going to ask, how is traffic? It seems like lots of people are done. They're done being stuck in their house. They want to get out. We've got a 3-day weekend here for those that are still working. How was traffic? Was it crowded? A lot of people on the roads? What does it look like down there?
Well, I can tell you this. It was not easy finding a place. And as soon as they opened them up, the rentals to be booked, it was almost impossible. We lucked out. I had a friend of a friend pull some strings at the last minute, and so it was a last-second deal for me, but it's going to be slammed down here, and there's pros and cons to that, but I'll tell you what, I think the attitude is ready to get back to some normalcy and take the precautions seriously, but also live our lives and go about it in a safe way. But I'm all for opening these things back up and getting out to those local businesses and supporting all the people that have been closed and trying to grind their way through this thing.
I like it.
Mark Mariani, Sold by Mariani, making his appearance possible. What's going on the latest in the real estate world? I know you're helping a lot of people with that.
That's right. It's been hot, and there's no doubt about it. We had a slowdown in March and April. People have to kind of feel out this market, and there was a lot of uncertainty, and we understand that. But I think things are picking back up. Nashville's always been a little bit of a bubble, and so it's going to get hot here in the late spring, early summer. If you're buying and selling or want to invest in real estate, give me a shout, soldbymariani.com. It's really, really, really picking up out there. The numbers are staggering, back to 2019 levels already. So the time is now, and I am ready to rock and roll. Soldbymariani.com.
Been talking a lot Titans. We did in the first hour with Buck Rising, Mark, and A.J. Brown spoke to the media this week. He had such a breakout season last year, a second-round pick, and I think when it comes to receivers in the NFL, like this year, there were so many big name guys that went in the first round, and people look at these guys and they just always immediately expect huge things from productive college wide receivers. It doesn't always happen that way. And you're a receiver at Montana and a return man. You kind of made your career in the NFL on returns, but why is it so hard for that position to have great success in college at any level, but then come to the NFL and maybe struggle to find their way? Not everybody, but it happens a lot.
Yeah, and I think it's no different than a lot of other positions. But, you know, in the NFL, everybody's a superior athlete. You know, there is not one man on that field who's not been has God-given ability and athleticism. And so you got to find a way to separate yourself. You got to find a way to make little advantages and take advantage of little opportunities and learn your craft and master it. And so I think the leap is pretty significant for a wide receiver. Not only that, the mental side of the game, you know, depending on what offense you're in, there are checks and at the line, there are sight adjustments. If a guy comes and blitzes the quarterback on your side, I know those things take time for a young wide receiver to understand. And that just slows you down when you're playing out there. Not to mention the DBs you're lining up against, you know, they are trained professionals as well. And they have, you know, as much competitiveness as any other position out there looking to shut guys down, especially young guys who are making a name for themselves.
You look at a guy like AJ, and we were talking to Mike Keith when he got drafted, and he said, you know, when he showed up at the facility for a visit, this is when you could still do stuff like that. We long for those days again. But he said he looked like a running back to all of us. And then we all got to interview him and stand next to him when you could do stuff like that. And we were like, oh, my gosh. So for a lot of guys, Mark, they were the biggest. They were the strongest. They were the fastest. And they could just sort of outdo those things, even at the highest level of college football. But like you said, when you come to the NFL, not only is everybody big and or fast and or whatever, they're also the craftiest bunch of rascals walking the face of the earth, especially those cornerbacks.
No doubt. And I think A.J. Brown brings a lot to the table. And obviously, I love his measurables. And he is, you know, I think he's listed at 6 foot. It seems to me like he plays bigger than that. But he's listed at 220, 225. And this guy's got all the strength and all the speed in the world, and he runs aggressively. So the measurables stack up. But here's the deal, and I think this is what separates A.J. Brown from a lot of rookies and a lot of receivers that I've seen, and that is his mentality. It's his aggression. It's the way he plays the game. It's his competitiveness. It's his confidence. There's a little bit of – what's the word? There's a little bit of cockiness in there. There's a little bit of, like, I want to be the top dog in there. And I'll tell you what, man, the best receivers that I've been around, the most productive receivers that I've been around, have had that attitude. And that's what separates AJ Brown from other guys who I've seen here. And remember, this organization has missed a few times on high draft pick wide receivers. So we've seen this before. Obviously, we're all looking to still squeeze the most out of Corey Davis this year, which will just take our offense to the next level. But I was around for the Kendall Wright days and the Justin Hunter days and some of those guys. And, you know, it wasn't since Kenny Britt and Nate Washington that you had some dogs in there, in my opinion, that were like, hey, I'm the top dog. Give me the ball. Throw me the ball. No one can guard me. And when you believe that and have that mentality, not only do you play that way and play with that aggression and that competitiveness, but just like I've been hearing come out of his mouth in some of these interviews, you take these off seasons seriously, where this guy still has a chip on his shoulder. He felt like he was snubbed for Rookie of the Year. So I don't care that I had 1,051 yards. I'm here to work and I'm here to grind and I'm here to get better. There's things I can improve on. Why? Because I don't want to be a 1,000-yard receiver. I don't want to be, you know, just considered a finalist for Rookie of the Year. I want to be the best in the league. And when you take that mentality as a receiver, it's going to be an unstoppable force, man, if he can just keep putting it together. And I'll tell you what, he is made for this offense the way he's built.
What do you before I ask you, what do you think he can do to get better? You mentioned Justin Hunter. All right, he played locally at Tennessee, so we all got to see a lot of Justin Hunter.
Kyle, I forgot about him.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah. Yes, that's the story. We forgot about him.
Yep.
That guy was so fast, and he could jump so far and so high. He had every gift that God could bestow upon a human being. And it's like one of those things. And here's the thing I thought about, Mark, and I wasn't good at this, but you probably were. Remember when you would finish all the seasons, and the coach would come around in high school, and he would go like, hey, I need 7 guys to run track. You know, can anybody run a 40? Can anybody run a 440 or 400? Can anybody high jump? Think about this. Justin Hunter would have been that guy where the coach goes down the hall and goes, hey, man, what are you doing right now? And he's like, I don't know, you know, just hanging out. And he's like, will you come to the track meet today and win 6 events for me? That's who Justin Hunter is. I mean, seriously. Will you come and win the high jump? And what couldn't that guy do? Long jump, triple jump?
All of the above, man, and that's what I'm saying. It takes a special mindset and that mental edge to take it to the next level and to compete at this level in the NFL on a regular basis, especially in this receiver room. I'm telling you, I know that sometimes the persona of a high profile wide receiver is that of a diva or somebody who's, you know, just wants the ball or give me the rock or whatever. But I'm telling you, when you turn that notch just a little bit and a couple clicks up and that competitive nature comes out, that's what separates the good from the great. That's what separates just the good athletes from the great wide receivers. And our boy A.J. Brown has that in him, man. And I've seen it, saw it his first year. I think I truly believe that he could be the biggest 1-2 punch when it comes to our physical ground game that Derrick Henry brings. How do defenses stop a physical run game? They bring a safety or an extra linebacker or something down in the box. That not only creates single coverage or backed off coverage on the outside, but guess what? When you catch a 5 yard under, and we saw this, when you catch a 5 yard under, when you catch a ball on the outside and you make one man miss, there's nobody left. So A.J. Brown will complement Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry will complement A.J. Brown. And if our offense can find a way to make all this work, it could be really dangerous. But I'll tell you what, you can't just do it with everyone. There's not that many guys who get the ball in their hand and they're just, you know, hey, how do I make a miss? No, I'm going to attack you like a angry pit bull, and I'm going to race this thing down the field. And I'll tell you this, I guarantee if you ask A.J. Brown, there's not one man that's going to tackle him. It's going to take – you better bring your boys, because not just one of you is going to bring me down. He runs like that. He plays like that. And that's what I've been most impressed outside the physical skills.
Man, I love it. Love the enthusiasm. Love this wide receiver talk. Let's continue this on the other side, Mark. Let's get into what AJ can do to get better in year two. It sounds like that aggressive nature of his has been a big part of things in year one. We'll get further into that with Mark Mariani when we come back. And more, including – another rule designed to maybe not have any kind of kickoffs happen. They continue to hurt our boys.
Mark hates this.
3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery.
It's a titanic offseason for the Titans. And your home for Titans football is right here. 104.5 The Zone.
DHL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. We return with breaking news in the NFL. Joe Flacco has signed with the Jets. Joe Flacco is the ageless wonder.
Interesting. Hey, he's sticking around, man. You win that big fat ring, you can stay around for a while, it looks like.
J-E-T-S.
Jess. Hey, do you know Ryan Griffin, Mark, of the Buccaneers?
I do not know that name.
Okay.
As you should not. Just for the record.
I was about to say, wow, put on the spot.
Don't worry.
No. You answered appropriately.
Forever, okay. And has taken like four snaps. So don't.
He's one of Tom Brady's backups on the Buccaneers. He has played in the league in some capacity. Let me adjust that. He has been in the league in some capacity since 2013. He has thrown four passes all last year. He completed two of them. He has 18 yards passing in his career. He has been in the NFL as a quarterback since 2013. Your career overlapped with him. You were on the same field with this dude at times.
Uh-oh.
But here's the thing.
No, because he was never on the field.
Because he was never on the field. Mark, this guy, like if I die tomorrow, and you do part of my obituary, will you say this was one of Mickey Ryan's heroes?
I cannot commit to that but I'll tell you this, that's your hero. I have one of those heroes of my own. We've had him on the show before. David Fales.
Oh, your man. He's from Chicago.
Savage. Just sticking around. Okay. That's
there
what,
you go.
But you know what? This relates because where's he at? He's with the Jets. So they've signed Flacco.
Oh, Flacco just knocked your boy off the roster.
Or my boy just stays in there like a freaking cat that has nine lives, dude. You can't get rid of that guy.
Dude.
Oh, my gosh.
You better call and check on your guy, Diamond David Lee Fales, because this may have just failed for him in New York.
Uh-huh.
Hey, I got my money on Fales. He's proven me wrong in the past, so I don't doubt him again.
Dude, Joe Flacco is like 8 feet tall, and he's a sophisticated cyborg who was sent back to not say things, but to play football.
He's the second slowest quarterback in the league behind Phillip Rivers, and he doesn't throw the ball like Phil. So I'm sorry. I got Fales in this one with his arm tat and everything else, all right? So got to stay loyal to my boys.
Didn't you tell me he was also like an awesome griller?
Well, he wants to be. That's his new thing. But I haven't got to test that out yet, which I think I'll stay away from that for a little bit.
Okay, let's get off the, you know, eight
backup quarterback
talk. Yeah. The only reason I knew who Ryan Griffin was, by the way, Mark, is because he was the one who was snapping balls for Tom Brady during this workout that he had with eight of his teammates that that was photographed, you know, covertly from the bushes by the Tampa Bay Times this week. So
nice.
Moving on.
Well,
all right. Let's talk about this rule change. How about that?
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm sorry.
Do you want to describe the rule change, Mickey?
Or have I'll describe it for you. This proposed rule change. Sorry, you got to be specific here. It was proposed by Philly. An alternative to the onside kick to allow a team. This part says who's trailing, but they actually don't have to be trailing, I think, in the actual proposed rule change, but allows a team an opportunity to maintain possession of the ball after scoring and have it 4th and 15 from the kicking team's 25-yard line. They would be allowed to do this no more than 2 times per game. So basically an alternative to the onside kick. There's a camp of people that say, oh, this is gimmicky. What are you doing? There's another camp of people that love it. That includes Patrick Mahomes. Not a surprise there. For a former return man here, what is your take?
Yeah, you know what? I got to be honest with you. As a diehard fourth down army guy who made my career on special teams, I think a lot of my friends and colleagues that, you know, have stood together are going to roll over on this one because, you know, they're phasing out special teams. And I actually kind of like this proposed change. And that goes against everything I'm about. I'm a diehard special teams guy. But I'll be honest with you, as a fan of this game moving forward, I truly believe that this is going to create so much more optimism and so much more, you know, never say die. We're not out of this game yet mentality that we never had before, because the percentage of onside kick recoveries is so low and has been getting lower and lower every year. It is so low that it's almost, you know, impossible to recover these things. So as a fan now, you can sit there in the fourth quarter and go, you know, all the optimism in the world because we got a better chance of getting this thing done and taking care of business. So I sort of like it. I haven't let it sink in yet, but just off the top, hearing it today, I think that I like this thing. I can see a lot of games that'll be shaped up by the last 6 minutes or 5 or 4 of a game, 2-score game down the stretch, and you got a chance to win that thing. That keeps a lot of fan bases involved and a lot of fans in their seats.
Mark Mariani, our guest, former Titans All-Pro, brought to you by SoldByMariani.com. That is his real estate website. You can go there, get his contact info if you're ready to buy or sell. The other thing we still had on the table was we had talked a lot about A.J. Brown. What can that young man, Mark, do in his second year to get even better? What are the things he can do to even improve technique-wise and that kind of thing?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, obviously the first thing starts from your mentality. We already talked about that. But I have no doubt in my mind that this guy has been putting in the time in this offseason, as weird as this offseason has been. And here's why. I can hear it in his voice. I can see the passion. This is the type of guy you don't even need to hear it. You can see it the way he plays, the way he works, the way he grinds, the way he's a weight room warrior and all those things. You have to have the chip on your shoulder, which he has, to want to get better and to want to do those things. And that's what I've heard this offseason from him. But to me, looking at his game, he's going to have to be a more refined route runner. And I say that because the light's on, the spotlight's on. Everybody knows about this guy now. He's going to have all the attention from defensive coordinators. He's going to have all the attention from the safety. He's going to have a lot of times he's going to have the number one corner on a week-to-week basis. And I got to be honest, I'm going to play a little devil's advocate here, not a negative, but my boy kind of faded in the playoffs a little bit down the stretch when the light shined on him. And not that we needed him, not that the play, you know, the games flowed that way, that we didn't need the big play. We weren't throwing it around the yard, but that's going to be the attention he gets from week one, right out the gates of the next season, whenever we play that. And so what I think he can do to take his game to the next level is understand that's coming, be able to get off that press, which he's a physical dude, and be a more refined technician route runner so that he can give himself those advantages. He can create that just a bit of separation he needs because we already talked about when you have guys creeping up to the line of scrimmage, starting to pay attention to the run, we start pounding the ball downhill. All a guy like A.J. Brown needs is a tiny bit of separation to make that hands catch, make one man miss, and there is nobody left. So he's going to have the attention of the defensive coordinator, the attention of the safeties, the attention of probably the best corner on the team next year. And to combat that, he just has to be a technician and he's got to be a dog out there. And I have full confidence that he's going to get that done.
Let me ask you this along those lines. You mentioned kind of fading away a little bit at the end of the season, and maybe that was more attention. But he talked this week, A.J. Brown talked this week about not being used to that long of a season, right? As a rookie.
Totally.
Yes, because he came in off a college season. And I mean, it's not like the Titans weren't, you know, playing for longer than other teams too. They're one game away from all of it. So he talked about his body being fatigued because he wasn't used to that long of a season. And so mentally and physically, he wasn't ready. How much of a real thing is that when you come from a college season, which is way less games and probably less of a physical game even than the college game? Is that a real thing?
It absolutely is a real thing. And I know he wouldn't want an excuse, so I'm not going to give him an excuse on that, but I'll say how real that rookie wall is, because don't forget, it's not just the length of the season compared to college to pros. It's that whole season that you go through as a all this hype about the draft. You get drafted, you walk across the stage, you do all these things, and then it happens so fast, and then you get a playbook that's 3 inches, 4 inches thick thrown on your desk. You got to learn that inside and out. You got rookie minicamp, and it all happens so fast, you don't really get a chance to catch your breath. You go through preseason, it just is, your rookie year is so much fun. It's a dream come true and all those things, but it definitely is a whirlwind, and it definitely catches up with guys because it's unlike any other year. After the first season, now you take some time off. You understand the ins and outs of what the season feels like, how to prepare for it mentally and physically. And those are just things you can't ever experience without going through it. And so that's why, you know, you see a big leap from year one to year two is because you know what to expect. You know how to condition for that. And you know how to take care of your body mentally and physically to get that done down the stretch.
Virtual workouts continue around the NFL. When we come back, we'll ask Mark Mariani, how would he have coped with working out in a virtual world? And I've even got a question of maybe how this relates to your past. I'll share that with you when we come back. Mark Mariani, former Titans Pro Bowler, brought to you by Sold by Mariani. More with him on the other side.
AJ, TD, touchdown, Titans, AJ Brown. What can Brown do for you?
That is so good.
On your official home for Titans football, 104.5 The Zone. The Zone.
HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Don Davenport and David Reed at the controls. Brent and JT. Well, Britt will be back on 3HL next week. JT will be back working. Both of them off furlough. I will be back on furlough next week. We got one more segment here with our guy who is a former friend of mine, Mark Mariani, my ex-friend who joins us now, who drove to Florida today to the beach and passed a myriad of Whataburger locations. I scolded him for that. He goes, well, you know, I've never even had it. And then he named some wackadoodle chain from Montana that hasn't left the mountain range there that doesn't exist anywhere but Montana.
Hey,
dude,
listen,
you're dead.
It's not a chain. It's a unique one-stop burger called the Missoula Club, Mole Club Burger, owned by yours truly, the Butte Missile, your boy. In downtown Missoula, and that is where you get a real cheeseburger, my friend. I didn't know that it would cut you so deep that you would just throw our friendship down the toilet for not having Whataburger, but I'll tell you what, you know what you just did is you just put it on a pedestal, and now if it doesn't live up to it, I'm gonna be very upset.
Well, rut-row, make sure to get a milkshake. That'll help your experience. They have a Dr. Pepper milkshake, then you need to get that.
Ooh.
Oh, okay, now you're on board. That's all it took was Dr. Pepper. Even David Reed's mouth is watering. I'm talking about Whataburger and Dr. Pepper milkshakes. So now all of you are hooked. And the only one who can get it is Mark, who's at least somewhere in the proximity of one. So we were having this discussion in the break. So Mark Mariani, drafted in the seventh round by the Titans, Athlon's greatest seventh round draft pick of the year 2010. They picked a best pick in each round of the draft. This is this guy, Mark Mariani, at Mark Mariani 80 on Twitter, soldbymariani.com for real estate help. So this is the guy. So there were times you were injured, you had to fight your way back. There was a lockout. At the end of your career, you were training with the hopes of, okay, let's get this thing going one more time after your last stint with the Titans. But you were kind of doing what everybody's doing now. They're off on their own. They're with their trainer. They're trying to be creative with stuff. At some point, they'll have to break out of that and go back to football mode. How hard is that to do, especially after an extended period of time?
Well, here's the deal. Getting back into the swing of things isn't hard. Getting back with your teammates and back in the locker room and back in the weight room is the fun part. That is what everybody wants to do. I beg these guys. I want these guys to get back with their teammates so bad. I want to see it happen as soon as possible. These guys need to be back with their teammates. The hard part is what they're doing right now. The hard part is to stay motivated on a day-to-day basis by yourself. Maybe you have a trainer or whatever, but it's easy. There's so many distractions all around you. We all have distractions in our lives. We all have, you know, an angel on one shoulder, a devil on the other, and we all have things going on, and it's easy to get distracted from cutting a workout short or not, or missing a workout or eating poorly or whatever. These guys got to get back in the facility. So whether it was for me a lockout or an injury or, you know, being a free agent and not getting picked up for a few weeks, that was always the most mentally challenging part for me, is staying motivated, staying focused, not letting the distractions take over. I think as soon as these guys get back in the building, they'll be able to catch up quickly. I do think you'll be able to see and weed out the people that are putting in the work now, though. And I hope these guys have enough time on that runway before they take off into the regular season. I hope they have enough time to gel and get back in it, because it's definitely a different speed when you go up back on the field. However, I think the strength coaches know that. But I'm just begging for these guys to get back in those facilities. They need it, and it'll be fun for them. The guys need, you know, to get away from the distractions and get back to work.
Mark Mariani, our guest. Did you watch The Last Dance? Finish up that with you. Did you catch any of it, all of it?
I didn't catch the last two episodes, so I apologize. But I got to be honest, man. Here's my stance. I love Michael Jordan. I love him. I think he's the ultimate competitor. I think he's the ultimate leader. And I respect people's opinion. But for me as a player, and for me as a guy who had leadership, not to that extent, but I had some tough love and some tough leaders, there is nothing wrong with that. And I don't care if it's the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2020s. Respect is earned. And if you can't – I just love the fact that he's unapologetic. He's a hard competitor. If he's hard and negative on his teammates – it's because he's been through it, and I would respect that every time. I had Randy Moss in my locker room, and you didn't have to say anything. You just followed that guy's lead, and he was there. He would lead you. He would push you, and I'm like, dude, you've been through it. Why would you not? And listen, I don't know, because I wasn't on those practice – I wasn't on those teams, and I wasn't on that gym floor, but I think that would motivate me to be the best I could possibly be. And so – I have a hard time with the whole narrative that today's athletes don't like to be led like that. They don't like to be coached like that. They don't, you know, all that stuff. I respect it, and I love it. I love seeing it. Every single episode, I get the chills, man. And so I buy into it. And I tell you, my little man, little Maverick, he'll be watching that documentary as soon as he understands it, because I think that's necessary.
Ready for 9 hours of Tom Brady as a follow-up? Because he's got one coming out that's not 10 hours, it's 9. They didn't want to match Jordan, I guess, but 9 hours of Tom Brady in the works.
And I think that he's a different kind of leader as well. But he does the same thing. And I said this as he was leading up to possibly coming to the Tennessee Titans, a guy like that in your locker room that has all the notches on his belt, that has all the respect in the world, he's done everything. He raises the level of every guy around him. And whether you're on pins and needles like that or whether it pushes you, however you guys relate, you know, one-on-one, doesn't matter. You take your game to the next level because you have to, or else you get left in the dust. You want to earn that respect from those kind of guys, and it pushes everybody to be their greatest.
I know you mentioned Randy Moss, but was there ever any other teammate that was like kind of the jerk that we've kind of seen from Jordan and how he treated, you know, Scotty Burrell and whatever else?
Poor Scotty Burrell.
Different level. Was there anybody on any of your teams at that level? Because I know you've talked a lot about Randy Moss and what he kind of demanded from teammates when he was with the Titans, even though that was a, you know, late in his career stint. But anybody else that kind of, I don't know, that had that, hey, if you knew them, they were a jerk, but it just worked.
Yeah, I mean, here's the deal. My time spent in the room with Coach Sean Jefferson and Nate Washington had a lot of that leadership style. They weren't jerks and they weren't negative about it, but they were not afraid to get up in you and push you and tell you how they feel. And those were the type of guys, and I love Nate Washington to death. He's like a big brother to me. And Coach Sean Jefferson, when I was a young guy, I wanted to do everything I could to earn those guys' respect. Sean Jefferson, man, you guys were around him. He was loud. He'd MF you. He would talk dirty to you. He would say all these things. And then he'd put his arm around you, and he'd push you to get to limits that you didn't think you could get to. And earning that guy's respect was all that I wanted to do. And that made me a better player and a better guy off the field. And that's how I felt about Nate Washington as well. Not that I ever thought they were jerks. I just wanted to earn their respect. And it was a lot of tough love.
Yeah.
Mark, great stuff, man. It's 5 o'clock somewhere for you right now. Your Memorial Day weekend. We give it to you. Here you go.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. I love you guys. Thank you for letting me do my dream job. I hope you guys have a great holiday weekend, and cheers beers. I'm off to have a couple umbrella drinks. I'll see you guys next week.
Sold by Mariani. SoldByMariani.com. Hit him up on there for all your real estate needs, making his visit possible each week. We'll say goodbye to Mark. Ryan Callahan of GoVols 24/7 will join us at 4:15, so just a little over 15 minutes away. When we come back, the SEC has made a move on that student athletes can return to campus for voluntary workouts. We'll even hear from Greg Sankey, an appearance he made on ESPN this morning, talking about what if someone tests positive. It's all next on 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. 104.